the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Happy feast to all of you as today we celebrate the great feast of our Lord's Transfiguration, as we just heard. In the Gospel reading, when the Lord ascended the mountain, Mount Tabor, and when he appeared before his disciples, Peter, James, and John, showing his glory, the glory that he has had with the Father from the beginning, and his clothes and his appearance became as bright as white, as light, as white as light. Excuse me, getting my eyes mixed up. But on this day, what I want to emphasize is the relationship between the Feast of the Transfiguration and the feast that preceded it from the Old Testament, the Feast of Booths. And I'm sure those of you who were attentive to the Gospel reading were asking the question, I wonder why it was that Peter said, I'll make three booths, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elias, who had appeared to him. Well, the reason for that is because at the time that Jesus was transfigured, the Jews were celebrating, including Jesus and his disciples, the Feast of Booths, or as it's often referred to, the Feast of Tabernacles. And during this Feast of Tabernacles, the Jews did a couple of things. In one part of the Bible, we hear about the significance of the Feast of Booths being the time of harvest. And you think about it now, this time of year, that's why we celebrate the Transfiguration this time of year. It's the time to start, for the farmers to start the harvest. But as is always the case, something that starts is very practical. Farmers need to harvest their crops. Scriptures give unto these important events in our lives, just as we continue to do today in the Orthodox Church, to give deeper meaning to something. We often first start with something practical, and then we give it a deeper meaning. And this is what happened with the Feast of Booths, that during the harvest time, the farmers would often go out and they would live in booths during the harvest, so that they could be there and spend as much time as they needed, and they could transport the booths with them to wherever they needed. This is long before tractors, and so we can't even imagine it today, right? When we see these farmers out harvesting now. Much more difficult work at the time. And so what ultimately ended up happening is became a feast of the Jews everywhere, not just for the farmers, but for everyone and everyone in the family. And it was a remembrance, why it's often called the Feast of the Tabernacles. It was a remembrance of when the Jews were wandering for 40 years in the wilderness after they had left the land of Egypt. And so this is the feast that our Lord was celebrating with his disciples, and it's why Peter said, why don't we make booths for you here? But notice what was happening here is that Peter was wanting to stay there with his disciples. With Jesus and the other disciples. And Jesus says we have more work to do. And this is the significance that I want to get into of the Feast of Tabernacles, and that Jesus chose this feast among any feast that he could have chosen to show his glory, to be transfigured before Peter, James, and John. Because the idea of the tabernacle, and for those of you who don't remember, while the Jews were wandering through the land of Egypt, they carried with them the tabernacle. What was the tabernacle? It was their movable temple, so to speak. The Bible plays on this throughout the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. And it shows that the tabernacle, this small little thing that could be moved, the Jews moved with them for 40 years. Everywhere they went wandering around the desert, they took the tabernacle with them. And it was only when they entered into the land of Israel that eventually they decided to build a permanent temple. And it was a massive temple. If any of you have ever seen the wall that's left from the second temple, you can see how massive is that temple. And throughout the Old Testament, we see a play on the tabernacle versus the temple. And ultimately, the Bible gives the tabernacle the upper hand. Keep in mind that the Old Testament was being written or compiled during this time when the temple was being built. And the Bible is constantly reminding the people of Israel not to idolize the temple, not to idolize the land that God had given them, not to idolize themselves, the fact that they were God's people, God's chosen people, because He was using them to reach all people, all nations. And so it is throughout the Old Testament, again, that the tabernacle is given a higher significance than the temple, even so much so that we hear something you never hear in the historical books. In the historical books, you'll hear that the Babylonians destroyed the temple. In the Bible, you hear that God destroyed the temple. He used the Babylonians to destroy the temple. Why? Because His people were starting to idolize the temple, the structure itself. The people were idolizing the land. The people were idolizing their status. And they did not remember that God was with them when they were wandering around in the wilderness. They did not remember that it was there in the wilderness, and then that they kept in the tabernacle the law that God had given to Moses, and that their protection was not the walls of the city that they built to keep out the invaders, but that their protection was in doing the will of God, in following God's law. And thus the tabernacle is given the upper hand. And thus, on this Feast of Tabernacles is when Jesus Christ reveals His glory. And He says to Peter, forget about staying here on this mountain. Rise, get up, let's go down the mountain. We have work to do. We're not going to idolize this place or this mountain because I was transfigured here. My work isn't to show off and just to show my glory up here on the mountain. My work is to go down and be with those who are in need of comfort and reconciliation. And my work, He says, is ultimately, of course, His work on the cross. And so, brothers and sisters, today on this Feast of Transfiguration, we are to be reminded that, yes, we come here, we build these nice churches as a family house, as a place for us to gather, where we come together to worship God on the Sundays, on the feast days, and so forth. But we are not to idolize this building. We are not to idolize the temple. We come here to receive God in Holy Communion, to receive Christ in Holy Communion, to hear God's Word so that we can go out. We can be like Jesus and descend. It's nice. I know we have the stairs back there. I'm sorry. For those who have issues, we have the elevator, but we can descend down the stairs as Jesus descended down the mountain and go and do our work during the week, putting God's will into practice. You know, those of us at St. Mary are perhaps less fortunate in some ways it's more fortunate, but in other ways, in this way, it's less fortunate. We've been here in this building for 90 plus years now. It's changed, you know, obviously, people have done nice work here to upgrade the facility. But look at St. George. It's now a community center. You know, many people don't know this, our newcomers. St. George was right across Seneca Street by the pickleball courts. It's now a community center. That's where St. George is. But they picked up and they went when God called them elsewhere. St. Michael, another sister church in town. They used to meet in St. George's Chapel. And then they picked up and they moved and they rented a place up on the northeast side of town, and now it's like a daycare or something, and they have a different church somewhere else. It's okay for us, brothers and sisters. In fact, it's desirable for us to move about, not necessarily our church, but ourselves, and not to identify this place as the only place where God is present. He is supposed to be present in our hearts. He is supposed to be present in our minds. He is supposed to be present in the way that we live our lives. This is reflected, by the way, in the way that we do liturgy. Because you'll see here behind me, I'll bring it out for you. This piece of cloth, you'll see me here after the sermon. Open it up. It opens up and it has a depiction of Christ laying in the tomb with four evangelists in the four corners.
called the Antimensene.
Very fancy word, isn't it? Antimensene, in Greek it means in place of the table. In other words, in place of the holy table. This goes back to the times of the tabernacle, where the people moved around. So did it as a relic of the martyr. The first Christians used to always have the services over the tombs of the martyrs. And so to this day, we have this antimension that we can pick up and leave. If I want to serve liturgy somewhere else with the approval of the bishop, he'll say, take the antimension. You don't have to take this big holy table, the iconostasis, and go and serve divine liturgy in prison or at school or somewhere. I remember one time the priest in Omaha served liturgy on campus for us at Creighton University for the OCF. He brought a little antimension. You can bring it with you anywhere. Just as the tabernacle could be brought anywhere. And the point of this, brothers and sisters, of this feast of the tabernacle, this feast of booths, the point of one of the points of transfiguration, the point of my sermon today is for us to remember that we can serve God and we should serve God anywhere we find ourselves. In Christianity, there is no such thing. We use the term loosely, and I don't like when we use it, but we use the term loosely. The Holy Land. The Holy Land is the land where you reside and made holy by the way you live your life. This was present even in the Old Testament. Look at the servant of God, Job, the great example. He was born in the Holy Land, he never visited the Holy Land, and he died outside of the so-called Holy Land, but he made his place holy by following God's will. And on this day, on this feast of the Transfiguration, we are called to do the same. So brothers and sisters, as we are here and we worship together, we receive the body and blood of Christ, let us then descend down our little mountain, our little stairs, and let us go about making whatever land we touch a holy land by putting into practice God's will where we find ourselves. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship forever and ever.
Amen.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.